This is the 9:00 Noon Show on Highland Radio. Looking at some of your comments, you're talking about not parking on footpaths. You should look at Mallon Town. We have a retirement village on the outskirts and a wheelchair group come to it once a week. If a wheelchair group come into the shops in the town, they can't go on a footpath because of people parking on them. There's even no parking signs and they park there anyway. Caller says, Donal, with regard to the Israelis having anything to do with supplying anything to Ireland, the Irish government have no right to deal with these terrorists on behalf of the Irish people. A lot of people should be aware that there are alarms systems manufactured by Israelis installed in most Irish homes. Now, I think, Caller, as I said, one of the issues is that government and public bodies in Ireland are governed by EU law, and EU law lays down very strict tendering procedures and tendering laws which the government must adhere to, and those tendering laws may enable and give the right to Israeli companies to make bids, and under that law, that's why I'm saying, I mean, this discussion is one that's going to have to be had in Europe as well as in this country domestically. The village of Creasla is one of the worst areas I've ever known for people parking on pavements. On average, there will be 6+ cars on the pavements walking past the post office, etc. We regularly have to step into the road, and in view of the speed vehicles come flying through the village, it's only a matter of time before someone is seriously injured. Who can we contact about this ongoing issue? Suppose the Gardaí are the force with the responsibility of maintaining and policing the laws on the roads. The Gardaí would be your first course. Donegal County Council obviously sets bylaws with regards to roads. There are speed limits up, and Creasla is on the N56. It's a very busy road, and Creasla is one of those areas which is in the unfortunate position of having a main road running right through it. So a lot of people are passing through Creasla who have no business being in Creasla. They're just going through it on the way to someplace else. And from that point of view, an area like that is always going to be susceptible to issues on the roads. Please say hello to our dad, Roy Colquhoun in Lifford. Happy 75th birthday. And that comes from Sinead, Paul, Abby Lee, Leah, Kyle, Naomi, Ella and Gracie. And that's a very, very happy birthday indeed to you, Roy. I want to just let you know about one or two things that are happening. There are a few things happening in the Mallon Head area on Sunday. There's a car treasure hunt. This is being run by the Mallon Head Community Association. It's a car treasure hunt. Cars leaving from 3 to 4 from the Mallon Head Community Centre, and it's €10 per car. And also Mallon Head Heritage are hosting a special day at the Mallon Head Community Centre. All are welcome. It's on Sunday the 25th from 2 to 6. Learn all about your local history. So the Mallon Head Community Centre, a heritage exhibition to brief you on the history of the area, and also that car treasure hunt taking place at Mallon Head. So a busy, vibrant place to be over this coming weekend. We were speaking about retirement just before the news there, and a caller says, I retired nearly 2.5 years ago. I'm just loving it. I don't know where I got the time to work. I meet up with former colleagues for a catch-up and lunch every once in a while, so it's all good. It's my well-earned free time now, so says a caller. And I have a very good friend who retired from a job here in Donegal recently, and she tells me she's busier now than she ever was in the past, which is great to see. And I suppose really it's incumbent on us to plan for retirement, and one of the things to do is just to make sure that we have good social networks and start building those social networks before we retire, so we have something to slot into. A number of your comments. Caller says, regarding minimum wage, and there was some discussion on the programme last week and again yesterday, as a business owner I have 14 staff, I turn over 1.5 million euro a year. I have a poor wage for myself. I'm on less than minimum wage. I feel the whole thing is very wrong. No one has mentioned the cost of PRSI to give to staff. We're being let down by our government. Now, what is PRSI for? I understand for pensions in the future, but things are so tight at the moment, we would need to freeze it or something. A lot of businesses will close as things are so tight. No one is making money since COVID. If you go into rural villages at night, only takeaways are open. There are too many staff working to pay. There is no way they'll be paid minimum wage and PRSI. It's not feasible. That's the perspective of a business person there. There was discussion yesterday about graveyard masses, and a case in one instance where the graveyard mass was People weren't all that happy with the way the Mass was conducted. Person says, I heard someone texting about graveyard service masses, blessing the graves with most areas and weather, and older priests, it's hard for them. So they give their blessings in holy water and told the people to sprinkle the water on the graves and surrounding graves if there are no one at them. I know in one area the priest went around the evening before the service and blessed all the graves. He held Mass inside, and with the big crowd, a lot stayed on their graves outside and blessed them at the appropriate time. And I suppose this is going to be carried out, and a blessing will take place at the side of the graves, and the blessing may be done from the altar in the church, and then people may put on the holy water and whatever. A little bit later on, and very briefly, we're going to be going to a good friend of Highland Radio's, Keith Fletcher, and we're going to be speaking about an article that appeared in the Irish Examiner recently, and we're going to be going to that very shortly. But before that, I just want to mark a very sad death that we learned about this morning. That is the death of Nell McCaverty, a trailblazing journalist and author and feminist. Nell was 80. Her family confirmed her death this morning. She passed away at a nursing home in Donegal. We understand it was Nazareth House in Fawn. Someone who would have known Nell McCaverty very well from an early age would have been Kitty Holland, who is social affairs correspondent with the Irish Times. Kitty, good morning.
Good morning.
Kitty, this is, I'm sure, a doubly difficult one for you because Nell was so closely associated with the Irish Times. So your paper is mourning Nell McCaverty this morning, but you personally would have been as well because you would have known her right from your days growing up in Derry.
Yeah, and I was on BBC this morning and got a little bit emotional, so I'm going to try and keep it together now. But yeah, she was... she was a very good friend of my mother's, Mary Holland, and my father, Eamon Cahan. So I would have known her growing up as a child. She was always in the house. She was always at the dinner table. Obviously I knew her then as a journalist when I was starting out in the Sunday Tribune first. She was working there at the time, and then I went on to the Irish Times where she wasn't working there any longer, but where she started her journalism career. So yeah, she's been very much a part of my life, all my life, as a family friend, sometimes difficult and cranky, but very kind of gentle and soft and lovely at the same time, person in my mother's life. But then as a kind of a bit of a mentor in terms of my journalism, I remember she used to call me, and I don't know, I was thinking about this morning, was she kind of slagging me or was she encouraging me? She used to call me hot shot when I was starting out in journalism and sort of be telling me what stories I should go and cover. And, you know, says, call yourself a hot shot. You should be covering this and that. And so she was a very strong mind, and she wasn't shy about expressing it.
A word I've heard over and over again about Nell McCaverty today and over the course of the years is fearless. Nell McCaverty feared no one, feared no thing, and nothing stood in her way. If she was pursuing a story, she was pursuing that story to the end, whatever happened.
Yeah, and I've heard another, you know, fellow Northern journalist, Sam Smith, earlier this morning on the radio saying that she would get to the heart of the matter of a story very quickly in her own mind, and she would pursue it, and she was, you know, unfailingly, she would be right about, you know, what the heart of this matter was, and issues like the Kerry babies and, you know, sex abuse scandal, that kind of thing. And yeah, you know, when she set her mind on getting to the heart of what the story was and getting to the heart of the issue, she was not going to fear anyone, and she was not going to let anyone stand in her way, whether that be the church, whether that be the guards, whether that be the Irish state. And she was absolutely a fearless, passionate, sometimes difficult, but difficult for the right reasons, voice of, you know, speaking truth to power, passionate about seeing injustice and speaking out and calling it out and calling out the powers and the institutions that she would have almost certainly correctly have seen were responsible for that injustice. So she was, she came from, you know, a poverty family in Bogside in Derry, where she would have experienced injustices. She went to university. She was very highly educated. She went to Queen's, so she would have known and be well able to interpret what she was seeing around her. So she was, she was absolutely fearless and transformed journalism and transformed the way journalism was done in Ireland, and bringing the voices of those affected by injustices to the centre of stories in a way that happens just by, as a matter of fact now in journalism. But, you know, that wasn't the case in the early 1970s, and she really was one of those you know, journalists at the time who were just essential in that kind of revolutionary time, I suppose, of transforming the way that power was held to account through journalism.
From a personal point of view, we now live in a time where we've celebrated Pride in Letterkenny, Pride celebrated in Derry, Pride is celebrated in Buncrana. We see parades all over. We see people who are openly gay in high political office all over. Neil McCafferty was speaking about these issues and living these issues long before the idea of a Pride parade was would ever strike anyone. This would have been Neil McCafferty's life at a time it was very, very difficult to do that.
So the Nell, we, you know, everyone knows Nell now. You know, she was lesbian. She was in a long term relationship with the late journalist Nuala Phelan. They shared a home in Dublin at a time when they couldn't be out about it. You know, and I suppose that there were many couples in the 90s, you know, throughout Irish history who were living together and who were gay. But you know, and that would have been a huge, I think, source. I never spoke to her about it or heard her speak about it, but I imagine that was a huge source of pain for her. And you know, we'll hear a lot of people saying today that she, you know, she had a great life and she had a wonderful life, and yes, she lived her life passionately and without apology to the full, but she also had, you know, she had difficulties and challenges, and she had, in some ways, she had a tough life, because she was not always celebrated for her speaking truth to power. She was vilified, and she was, you know, she was not, her voice was not always welcome, but it was welcomed, I think, by the people who she was speaking out for. So, yeah, you know, things have changed an awful lot in Ireland. And as you say, there's, you know, there's big pride parades in Roscommon and Donegal and all places that you would never have thought even 10, 15 years ago that there would. But now, at very early stages, was, you know, she's laid the foundation through her journalism for the transformation of Ireland. And, you know, we take that for granted now, but that's difficult. It's difficult to be that person and to be that kind of and it can be lonely, so yeah. She's to be commended, and you know, a huge debt of gratitude for people, young gay people now, young women, young trans people, to people like Nell for the groundwork and the foundational work they did through their journalism, or through her journalism, for generations to come.
You mentioned her relationship with Nuala O'Fallon. Nuala sadly passed away a number of years ago. That must have hit Nell really hard, particularly as Nuala O'Fallon herself was very open about her illness, speaking to Marianne Finucane on air about it. And Nuala O'Fallon lived her final months sort of almost in the public eye. That must have been a very, very difficult time for Nell as well.
Yeah, it must have been. And you know, and Nuala and Nell, they didn't have a very friendly breakup, shall we say, you know, and I think that was extremely painful for Nell. Again, like I never spoke to her about that, and I didn't hear her speak about it. But I know through, you know, speaking to my mother, and that was very, very painful. You know, breakups are difficult, but, you know, such a public one, and for, you know, for the love of her life, essentially, to have, you know, not be talking to her at the time of her death, and for that, Nell had some really difficult times in her life, but you know, her legacy is one that will be celebrated for years to come.
Finally, we all remember Nell as a firebrand. Her persona was that of a firebrand, fearless. And we've mentioned all the words already in this interview. But there was, I'm sure, a vulnerability there as well. There was a soft core there, and perhaps you, in the personal relationship between Nell and your own mother and father, and you knowing her sort of out of the journalistic sphere, sort of say, you would have seen that potentially more than most. But there was a vulnerability there. And
the Nell
McCafferty that we have in our minds, that firebrand, absolutely full force to the hilt, as it were, you know, there was another side to Nell McCafferty, and that can't be forgotten.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, there was a real gentleness to her, and as you say, a real vulnerability. Like, my mother, I don't know if I mentioned her name, Mary Holland, she was a journalist as well, and she died, in 2004, and, Nell was, Nell was just there every day for months before she died. She would have been one of the last people to see my mother in hospital, at her bedside. So this is where I get emotional. she was really kind. She was very loving. And, I think, you know, she had a lot of sadness in her life, but she was wonderful, complex, amazing, brilliant, and one of a kind.
Kitty, our thoughts go out to you and to all those who mourn Nell McCafferty this morning. She was a huge force in Irish journalism, but more importantly, she was a huge force in Irish life, and her legacy lives on. And there's an argument that says her legacy lives on in every chemist that sells a condom. Her legacy lives on in every family planning clinic.
Yeah.
Her legacy lives on in the pride parades. She paved a path that many people can now walk, and that can't be forgotten. Kitty Holland, thank you very much indeed.
Absolutely. Thank you. A million. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Kitty. Take care. This is the 9 till noon show on Highland Radio, and with apologies to our guests, we have been trying to get Kitty on air to speak about Nell McCafferty there, and when we managed to get Kitty there, obviously we wanted to take her on because Nell McCafferty, a huge force, not only in journalism in the Northwest, but also in life in general in the Northwest. Now, we're going to discuss an article that appeared recently in the Irish Examiner, written by Jane Cowan, lifestyle columnist, and Jane argues that there should be an upper age limit on those allowed go to clubs. And Jane joins us on Zoom. Jane, good morning.
Good morning.
Now, Jane, I'm going to tell you there's three of us involved in this conversation. I'm going to introduce you to the third person in just a moment. I strongly suspect you are far and away the youngest person involved in this conversation. And I'm going to say that up front. I suspect it's not beyond the realm. I'm not going to ask you what age you are, but it's not beyond the realms of possibility that I'm twice your age. And I strongly suspect I very well may be. Your argument is that people over the age of 40 should seriously reconsider their choices with regards to going clubbing.
Now, if I can defend myself, there's some truth in the article, but I was also being tongue in cheek. I'm not like pro the segregation of our society.
Mm-hmm. So what is your take then? You believe you're going to clubs that you believe should be for your age group, for your demographic, and your enjoyment is being spoiled by big 60-year-old men who are hanging around the place and getting in the way.
This was actually inspired by a night out I had recently when I was in the nightclub, and these men who were in suits, so they'd clearly just come straight from the office. They started a conga line in the middle of the dance floor, and it was just like they were the same age as my father. It was very uncomfortable to witness.
Now, I'm going to introduce you to the second person in our conversation. It's the presenter of the Getting Ready to Go Out on a Saturday programme that we have here on Highland on a Saturday evening. And it's the redoubtable Mr. Keith Fletcher. Keith, good morning.
Good morning, Donald. Good morning, Jane. How are you?
Good.
I'm glad to hear that you said that it was tongue-in-cheek. I was reading your article last night and I was smirking. I was thinking, very good, very good. Now, I'm 61. You're okay to talk to me, aye?
Just about.
You wouldn't want to meet me in a nightclub, is that?
Oh, no, totally not.
Well, that's probably mutual, you know. I'd be dancing to stuff to you. Well, the thing is, a lot of the stuff that you would be dancing to now is stuff that I would have been playing maybe 30 years ago, because it's still popular and, you know,
they're still playing all those songs.
Yeah, you know. But, and is it just the men in the suits? You know, because I have friends, I can think of one friend who, a female friend of mine, who had her babies in her 20s, and they're growing up now, and she's ready to party. Should she not go out, do you think?
See, this is the thing. I don't generally notice any older women there. Maybe it's like the men are worse dancers. I don't know what it is.
Right.
It's generally the men that are dominating the dance floor.
Yeah. Well, that's when they get the Dutch courage, away they go, you know. But, no, I do think, you know, nightclubs are an environment where people can enjoy themselves, let their hair down, and sure, if they want to do a conga line, which is a bit mad, you know, if they're not interfering with you, sure, let them at it, Jane. You know, let them
I mean, it doesn't put me off going to the nightclub, but you'll still find me there. I do just, it's kind of, like, it's some entertainment while we're there, nearly, to watch what they're going to do next.
Yeah, you know, because, you know, look, I've always said, I think predominantly, nightclubs are sort of for 18 to 25-year-olds. That's your main thrust. You know, after that, people get mortgages, they get into relationships, they have families, and that, you know. But when that's over, or when things get settled down, you know, and or say if my daughter... Well, I wouldn't be in the head pair. If my son is getting married and he has a stag party and I go out to the stag party, you know, when it comes to that stage of going to the club, I would like to be there.
And you know, if I was the bouncer on the door, I think I'd let you in.
Good girl. Good woman. You
know, I want to bring another voice into this conversation, and this is Tanya, who is on line one. Tanya, good morning.
Good morning.
Tanya, you're 53. Where did you spend last weekend?
At Electric Picnic.
And did you enjoy?
Oh, we had the time of our lives, honestly. It was just, I couldn't even explain to you how unusual it was. It was just, it was amazing.
No, you're taking exception to a certain extent to what Jane is saying.
Absolutely. It's like age is just a number. We've had a tough year this year. My sister had diagnosed with breast cancer. So now we are just out living life and we just enjoy ourselves. And age doesn't matter. You know, why should you be excluded from something just because you're old? You know, I actually volunteer with accessibility at the festival. And to see people in wheelchairs and, you know, people with many disabilities out enjoying themselves, this is what the world should be. We should be allowed to enjoy ourselves without being judged or criticised.
Now, the interesting thing, Jane, is a lot of the comments that are coming through, and I know you specified that your issue is perhaps more with men than women, but it appears to be women that are making contact, because we're also joined on the line by Michelle. And Michelle, good morning.
Good morning, Donal. How are you?
I'm very well indeed. Now, in fairness, Michelle, I better say, Jane's issue does seem to be more with men in suits doing conga lines than with women going to clubs. But you also enjoy going out and having a good time.
100%. There's no age limit to enjoy yourself. And I think that people should be able to be able to go out and, like, as all the previous guests said about Electric Picnic, Electric Picnic's from 18 plus. Mm-hmm. Everybody had a great time, even there at the weekend and summer sessions at the Wolf Tones. I mean, it was a great night. There was all age groups there. So I think, you know, if somebody wants to go and dance, it doesn't make a difference if you're 18 or if you're 40 or if you're 50 or whatever age you are. You should be entitled to go out and enjoy yourself and have fun, you know?
Okay, so I'm going to ask both you and Tanya a question here, Michelle. Let's take the standard nightclub, be it in Letterkenny, be it in Buncrana, be it in whatever town in Donegal or further afield. Do you go to a nightclub arriving at around about midnight and then, you know, getting home at 3-4 in the morning?
Oh, yeah, 100%. Like, I mean, if I'm on a night out, then I'm out to enjoy myself with the girls and have the crack and have the fun, have a dance. You know, I love music and I love to dance. And so I think I should be entitled to it, you know, to do that.
Without being judged by people too.
Yeah. And the same
exactly,
question, just
exactly.
Tanya. Are you a frequenter of the clubs, Tanya?
Oh, I love going out. I'm often out dancing and just, you know, it's good for the soul to get out and just dance like no one's watching. That's what they always say.
Absolutely, it is.
Exactly.
Yeah, Michelle, Tanya, thank you both very much indeed. I'm going to bring another person into the conversation, a friend of mine, Ciara McVeigh-Lunn. Ciara, good morning.
Hello, Donal.
I'm very well indeed. Yourself?
Oh, I'm good. Thank you.
Now, just to let you know, Jane, Ciara runs a clubber size class in Letterkenny. And believe you me, if you ever watch what Ciara's doing with her clients, it's a lot of predominantly ladies, it has to be said, and predominantly a little bit older. But they're really having the crack. I mean, tell us about clubber size, Ciara.
Yeah, so clubber size is a dance fitness based class. You know, your typical aerobic moves, you would say, but it's based to 90s music, noughties music. We're in the dark. We've got the glow sticks. We've got the disco lights. The main attraction, really, I suppose, with clubber size is because it's in the dark. And I do a lot of other classes as well, but they're in the bright. And there's a lot of people who won't come to them classes because they're conscious, maybe body conscious, self-conscious. Mm-hmm. Just anxious, really, going into classes or gyms or anything like that. And that clubber size has opened the door for so many people. And it's actually, the last couple of years, there's a gang of us have actually organised a bus and headed up to Belfast then for the big disco that is held up there, which is all the actual original 90s and noughties acts. Mm-hmm. So, and I mean, the ages range really for my classes, the ages can range anything from 16 right up to 70 plus. I teach a class called Move to the Beat, which is predominantly aimed at over 50, 60s. But there's a gang of them ladies now that have progressed from that class, and they have actually started coming to Club Recise and Zumba and the other classes because they've gained confidence when they have come to their class and they've thought, you know what, I can do this. And they love the music, and it mightn't necessarily be their music that they grew up to, but their kids grew up to that music, so they were used to listening to it in the house. Mm-hmm. But I mean, the, you know, that we always say no heels, no hangovers, and that's, you know, I would love to be clubbing, but unfortunately my work, I work 7 days a week and it's all a lot of early morning, so I actually can't go clubbing. If I could go clubbing, I would be clubbing for sure.
No doubt
love
about
music,
that.
Love dancing. Yeah, yeah.
Ciara, thanks very much indeed. And it's really interesting. And going back to yourself, Jane, in terms of what we've been hearing from the ladies there, everyone's talking about how much they love the music and absolutely understand that. And I know you wouldn't question that for a moment. It does beg an interesting question. And the question is this. Do we need a new type of nightclub? Because it seems now that you have a situation where there's a wide variety of pubs to choose from. So, you know, you might choose to go to a completely different pub to the pub. I might choose to go to, you might go to the pub for conversation and for music and for crack. And I might go to a pub for a table quiz or to sample a craft beer or, you know, yeah, we might have different reasons. And there's a variety of pubs to suit our particular needs. Once you get to 11:30 midnight, you've got two choices. The choices are you do what I do, which is go home, have a cup of tea and go to bed, or go to a club. And it seems that, I mean, and I think maybe there is a serious discussion to be had here, because it seems now that the clubs are the clubs, and they all follow the same format, and they all appear to be aimed at those from, I mean, there was a time when you would have had clubs, particularly in Dublin, in places like Leeson Street, that would have been glorified wine bars, and they would have, you know, charged exorbitant amounts of money to get in, and they would have had a 25 or 30 lower age limit, and they were ostensibly geared towards an older clientele. But what appears to have happened, as far as I can see, certainly in places like Letterkenny, is that you now have the one type of club, which is a one-size-fits-all, big dance floor, big smoking area outside, and people, when the pubs close, in they go to the club and they stay there until 3. A lot of people just standing in the corner and drinking and not paying any attention whatsoever to the music or the dance floor. Do we need to look at our club provision and maybe start targeting different clubs to different demographics?
That's an interesting thing to bring up, because they've actually started doing this in Dublin. There's these events for over 30s in nightclubs, mm-hmm. where they open a nightclub from 5 p.m. to 9 p.m.
That's me. I want that.
They've proven
do
very popular.
Do they play
popular.
Good rock music from the 60s and 70s?
They're really popular. People love them. You'd be in bed by 10.
Brilliant. That is exactly what I want, to be honest.
That's ideal
that's
for
exactly
you.
Exactly what I want. Keith,
well, I don't think we have the population density up here to do that.
No,
I mean,
we probably don't.
A couple
know.
Of million people living in Dublin. Yeah. You know, I was going to bring up I was saying earlier on, there was a friend of mine at Scooter last year in Belfast, and this guy comes up to him, a young guy comes up to him and says, "Are you not too old to be here?" This is, and now, my friend who has been following Scooter since 1996, and was able to list all the albums, list all the songs, list all the concerts. And I think at the end up, the young guy thought, oh, I've bitten off more than I can chew here. You know, because my friend who was following Scooter was probably following Scooter long before you were born, Jane.
Probably.
You know, so I mean, I'm sure he would feel quite aggrieved. He was quite aggrieved that somebody came up to him and said, "Were you not a wee bit old to be here?" You know. Mm. Should we not be inclusive and everybody can come along and enjoy the, you know, enjoy the crack? I think, as I said at the start of this part, we don't have the population density up here. In Dublin, you could have an over 25s, you could have an over 30s, you could have an over 40s, you could have an evening one. I don't think we have the density up here to do that, you know?
Yeah. In terms of the nightclub provision, I mean, I think that's a very important point that Keith makes, is that certainly in Letterkenny we don't. Now, there are a number of nights. There's two guys in town that they do once or twice a year, they do a ska and punk disco, which is an absolutely fantastic night out. And I would actually make a point of that, of going to that, and I love it. Now, my own personally, I would say I will be more up for live music than a club per se. I was at Madness just under a fortnight ago, hopefully going to see Nick Kershaw in China Crisis Now in Derry on Sunday. Right. Really looking forward to that one. And again, yeah, it says, oh Lord God, I mean, this music that was made about probably 10 years before you were born, Jane, to be honest. But, you know, but, I mean, no, so the clubs wouldn't be really my personal thing, to be honest. But I mean, you know, if I had a choice of going to any music festival, now, provided I had toilet facilities, a shower and a comfy bed and pillow, that I ain't camping anymore. No way. But if I had a choice of going to one festival anywhere in Europe next summer, a lot of people would assume I'd say Glastonbury. It isn't Glastonbury. It would be Tomorrowland. Because my son's been to Tomorrowland a couple of times, and I've watched the live streams, and I watch the live streams of Tomorrowland every year, and it looks absolutely amazing, as much as a visual spectacle as for the music. But I mean, you know, I watch Armin van Helden and people like that, and it's absolutely magnificent. I absolutely love it. I mean, Fatboy Slim I've seen live several times and absolutely love him again. So, you know, it isn't again. Now, Scooter, I cannot share Keith's friend's enthusiasm for Scooter, actually. I have to say, Scooter, perhaps, they're perhaps the group I don't like more than any other group, largely of what they did to the Logical song, which was absolutely horrendous. Okay. But we'll not go down that rabbit hole.
In my opinion, yeah.
And I mean, I loved what Sister Sisters did with Comfortably Numb, for instance. So it's not that I'm that precious, yeah. But no, their Logical song was the jumping the shark as far as music is concerned. But we're going down a rabbit hole. But there is certainly an argument for inclusivity. But I think you do make a point that is fair, Jane, that, you know, once you get to the clubs, it does appear to be that everyone just gets lumped into the same place, and you have to navigate the horrendous spectacle of old men in suits dancing conga lines.
Jesus, go easy.
Oh, well, no, would old men? We are, Keith. Come on, let's be honest. Now, that said, in my defence, I would no more take part in the conga line at a nightclub now than...
Nor would I, but age is only a number. It's a state of mind.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there are people our age, don't know, who would go out and just sit up at the bar and drink, and there are people our age, like me, maybe would be out on the dance floor, you know, and I would like to think that Jane wouldn't be offended, because if she's seen how good a dancer that I am, really.
Oh, he has, trust me on this, he is.
I'm sure really you're great, Jane, he is.
Now, mind you, I'm saying what I'm saying. I know that if she has the radio on at work, my daughter is looking at the radio going, oi, you were doing the Love Train at 1 o'clock in the morning on the nightclub on the ship we were on just last month in our holidays, Dad. You liar. But that's neither here nor there.
Yeah.
Mind you, the OJ's Love Train, great song. I did do the Love Train around.
Oh, good man. With others, I think, you know, but
it
I think
the DJ that, started it though, in fairness.
I think the nightclubs, you know, and speaking from a DJ's point of view, the nightclub is trying to create an environment where people can relax and people can enjoy themselves. And it's incumbent on the DJ to create that atmosphere in the room.
Yeah.
You know, and you're playing a broad spectrum.
Yeah, but aren't we getting to the point now, though, Keith, where from the point of view, and you've done, you've spent literally decades doing clubs and playing the clubs.
Yes.
Are we getting to the point where it's getting more increasingly difficult to cater for everyone's musical taste? Because you're going to have people like ourselves who grew up in the 80s, and then on the other hand, you're going to have people like Jane. And for instance, I had a chat with my daughter during the week about what constitutes a classic hit.
Yes.
And, you know, I was asking the question based on another conversation I was involved in at the weekend. And I said to my daughter, what would you regard as a classic hit? And she said, a classic hit, she said, to my mind, probably something like Hit Me Baby One More Time by Britney Spears.
Right.
That to me, she said, is a classic hit, because that was, that came out when I was about six, you know, six or seven, whatever she was when it came out. It came out the turn of the, well, she was pretty close to eight, but. Right. It came out, what, 2000, 2001, thereabouts?
Something like that.
They were on about there. But, I mean, to her, that's what, in my daughter's head, is a classic hit. To my mind, a classic hit is something like Dedicated Follower of Fashion by the Kings that came out in the 60s.
Right.
And, you know...
And what would be a classic hit? Jane, what would be a classic hit to you? What would you like? What music, like, would you
I'm
like?
I'm laughing now as you're saying that. I think I have to, like, own up. I'm actually 20. I was born in 2004. So that was released before my time.
Three times her age.
We are three times your age in that case. Right. Okay. That's fair enough. That's grand. Yeah. Yeah.
I wasn't going to point that out, but I feel like I have to.
That's absolutely fair enough. So, I mean, you were, Hit Me Baby One More Time by Britney Spears was out before you were born.
It was.
Yeah. And you know the way you were talking with people in clubs older than your parents?
Yeah.
I can pretty well guarantee you we are.
right. So what's your song, Jane?
Now, I've got older sisters, so I would actually agree with Hit Me Baby One More Time. But the songs, like, for people my age, that, like, everyone will just lose it. It's, like, such a nostalgic song. If they ever play One Direction, like, everyone my age loves that. Yeah.
You were saying One Direction is now nostalgia?
It's nostalgic for us.
Like,
I was probably 8 years old when they started releasing songs.
Shut up, Dawn.
Sorry.
Did I just make you feel old? I'm sorry.
Oh no, don't you worry. I'm well rehearsed at feeling old at this stage, Jane. I mean, you know, I've had so many conversations with people where I mention songs which obviously are classics that everybody knows, and they've looked at me.
And Jane, can I ask you, as someone being 20, because I have encountered this sometimes when I'm out, is that have you ever gone up to the DJ and said, you know, take off that song, I don't like it, or play the next one?
I actually have never done that. I'm not one to harass the DJ.
Yeah,
but I have definitely watched friends do it.
Yeah.
Or they're like, please play some Taylor Swift.
Mm. Yeah. But they're happy enough to wait for a song or two, but, you know, or do they want it like now?
Oh no, they'd be polite about it.
That's good. Yeah. Mm. No, I have encountered people going, I don't like that song, play the next one. You know, which opens a whole new conversation, and I'm like, well, what about the person that asked for that song? Should I just ditch them to play what you want? Or, you know, so.
Yeah. Exactly.
And I have to say, it would be a younger cohort of person that I get that request from.
Okay. Mm. A couple of comments before we go. Right. You're never too old to go clubbing. I still love those block rocking beats from that epic generation of the 1990s, early noughties, when we had the greatest trance dance and pop tunes. Age is only a number, says a caller. Personally, I think over 40s can go clubbing and know how to enjoy themselves more than younger ones nowadays. You're never too old to get out and enjoy yourself. I've heard it all now. I can break moves better than any 20-year-old, so says a caller. If you have the energy when you're over 40 to go clubbing, then go for it. You can, we can party with you, Keith Fletcher. Jane can stay at home with her Bovril. That's below the belt now, in fairness. That is below the belt.
Well, I'm glad that you started off, Jane, saying that it was tongue-in-cheek. Because, you know, the Bovril and the blended food and the Zimmer frames, I was thinking, geez, you're going to rub some people up the wrong way there.
Yeah, we may all retire if you're trying to keep Keith Fletcher out of clubs, and this is from a Buncrana listener.
There you go.
Buncrana being Keith's hometown, I think it's only fair to point out. I'm a young listener to the ghost of the big country nights in the Abbey Hotel in Allingamars and Bundoran, sometimes the Clannery in Letterkenny. The age group that attends there ranges from 18 to over 70. Now, in fairness, I think the big country nights are not necessarily what Jane is talking about. Tell Keith it depends on the DJ. Let the 60-year-olds enjoy their music, 80s, 90s music, brill. Another caller says, I'm 39, my husband is 27. It'll be really awkward if I wasn't allowed in when the two of us go out. So that's from Jody. Jody, thank you very much indeed. Jane, it's been lovely having this conversation, and, you know, thank you for making us feel really, really old.
Yeah, thanks.
And,
you took it really well.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much indeed.
Handled the ageism brilliantly.
Yeah. So I, as I said, I didn't reckon I was going to be twice your age. I didn't reckon on three times your age, but, you know, fair enough. That's grand. We can live with that.
And don't be writing anything bad about us now when you go, you know, if you're going to write something again.
I won't, I promise.
See you chatting to
Jane, listen, thanks very much indeed.
Thank you.
It's been great fun, and we will leave it there and take a short break. But Jane, Keith, thank you both very much indeed.
Thank you.
Now, looking at some of your comments, I thought nightclubs were primarily for meeting people. Sounds a bit creepy, people in their 60s meeting teenagers. God bless that girl getting well and truly humbled. Another caller says, music lovers and nightclub goers are ageless. She'll be our age sooner than she thinks. Will she think then she can't or shouldn't go out? You never get too old to go dancing. I think the young ones enjoy the older ones and also the songs from the 70s and 80s. You don't stop dancing when you get old. You get old when you stop dancing. So says a caller. Absolutely. Problem now with nightclubs is 16-year-olds in an environment with people of an older generation. Anyone over 18 is entitled to be there. Just in relation, should 40-year-olds still go clubbing? Of course we should. I listen to my good friend Keith Fletcher religiously every Saturday night as he gets the party started. I go out with my three sons who are 18, 19 and 21. We all have a brilliant night. I had Keith play at my son's 18th. He played at my 30th and he came to my 40th. He played at my 50th, as it happens. And everyone young and old enjoyed it. You have to meet Keith in a nightclub. He's fantastic. That is the case. Now, Bernie, by the way, says over 40s are well entitled to have some fun after a long working week if they choose to do so. Does she want over 40s to go home from a wedding when the DJ comes on? I don't think so. Jane probably wasn't even born when the songs she's dancing to were out. In many cases, probably that's going to be the case. and a lot of reaction to that one, actually, which is great. And look, I mean, it's a bit tongue-in-cheek, and fair play to Jane for coming on and for having the crack with us. And there are, I mean, discussions to be had. I mean, maybe there are cases where we should be looking at alternatives. I'll be honest, as I say, I don't go to nightclubs by and large. It isn't really my thing. I'm at the point, I love a good heavy metal gig. I love a good music gig. I love a good live environment. But I also want my gig to start at 8. I was at Madness, as I said, in Galway. It was the perfect gig. We got to the venue at about 7 o'clock. The Lightning Seeds came on stage at 7:30. Madness were on stage at 9:15. The whole thing was over at 10:30. And we were back at the hotel having a nightcap pint by about 11:15. And that's exactly what I want. And I was tucked up in my bed nice and comfy by 12 noon reading a book, which absolutely suits me down to the ground.